This is the Mike Shamari Show. My guest today was recently part of saxophonist Warren Hill's Smooth Jazz Cruise and a Valentine's Day performance at the Nokia Theater in Manhattan on February 10th. He will be with Rick Braun at the Sovereign Arts Center in Reading, Pennsylvania, next Friday night. That's March 24th. Please welcome saxophonist Richard Elliott.
Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
All right. Well, let's start in the beginning. How did you first get into music?
Well, I started in middle school. I was 11 years old, just going on 12, and I was in summer school, and I was looking for something different to do, and I thought it'd be fun to take up a musical instrument. And a couple of years earlier, my parents had started me on the accordion, which I did not enjoy, and that's before, you know, certain artists made the accordion cool, like Weird Al Yankovic, mm-hmm. and even Peter White and Bruce Hornsby and people like that. So I just was not into the accordion back then. But I saw the saxophone, and, you know, honestly, I think it just kind of looked cool to me, and I thought it'd be fun. So in summer school, I took up the saxophone, and I immediately loved it. And it was something I really enjoyed doing, and kept doing it. And that's how I got started.
Well, how did your professional career begin?
Well, when I got into high school, my high school music teacher was also a professional musician around Los Angeles, where I grew up. He did a lot of studio work and really was able to give us an insight into what it was to be a professional musician, you know, beyond what I think most, let's say, high school music teachers could offer. And that really got my interest sparked to consider it as a career. So it was through him. And in actuality, my very first opportunity to play professionally came through him. When I was 16 years old, I auditioned for a horn and string section that was going to Asia to back up different people on a USO tour. Mm-hmm. People like the Young Americans and the Pointer Sisters and Natalie Cole, people like that. Mm-hmm. And I passed the audition, and I got to do that on my summer vacation when I was 16. So that was my first sort of exposure to being a professional musician, and albeit I think it was a lot of luck. I was in the right place at the right time. But really, once I got out of high school, I went to college for a period of time, but during that time I also was playing professionally, playing live around L.A. and doing studio work. And mm-hmm. so I would say my professional career really got started pretty much right out of high school. And I got some great opportunities, hooked up with some producers around L.A., people like Steve Barry and Tony Peluso, who were a couple of the main producers at Motown Records in Los Angeles at that time. And just a lot of, a lot of being in the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Richard Elliott here on the Mike Shamari Show on web radio WCWP. I didn't know this, but you worked with, according to your bio on Richard, or the timeline at least, at your website, richardelliott.com, that you worked with Yellow Jackets for a while at the beginning of your career?
Yes, I did. Actually, I was with a band before the Yellow Jackets. I was with a band called Kitty Hawk, and we were signed to EMI Records, and we did a couple of records for them. And our manager also managed the Yellow Jackets. I left Kitty Hawk, and I went on tour with Ricky Lee Jones. Mm-hmm. When I got back off that tour, I got a call from Russ Ferrante, who was the keyboard player with the Yellow Jackets.
Right.
And he asked if I'd be interested in joining the band and doing a record with them. So I joined up with them, and I did their CD called Mirage à Trois, which was one of their earlier CDs. So I did that for a while, and that was a great experience. I left them to go on tour with Melissa Manchester, mm-hmm. and when I got back off the road with her, I ended up joining Tower of Power. And the ironic part was when I joined Tower of Power, I replaced Mark Russo, mm-hmm. and Mark Russo joined the Yellow Jackets.
Right.
So it was
mm-hmm.
kind of funny how the whole thing, it was like musical chairs, no pun intended.
No pun intended. But, yes, what were the days of Tower of Power like? With them, I mean, like.
Well, I would say being with Tower of Power was the single most really important period of my my musical career. You know, short of going off and being a solo artist, I learned more with Tower of Power as a from a musical standpoint, being a team player, performance. I learned more with them than any other single group or artist that I ever worked with. So I would say that was a very, very important period in my career.
We're talking with Richard Elliott here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP and at webradiowcwp.org, although I think they're the same thing. What was it like when your first solo album, Troll Town, came out?
Well, you know, back when I started doing solo records, I really was doing it more for fun. Not that I don't have fun now, but it was more recreational than anything else. I enjoyed playing as a sideman with other bands and other artists, and I also had my own band, but we played locally around L.A. and did it really for fun. And I was approached by a record company, a very small record company called Intima Records, back in the mid-80s, and they asked if I'd be interested in doing a solo record. There really wasn't much money in it, and it was purely recreational. So my CDs like Troll Town or Initial Approach, they really were strictly just to do it for fun, and I made my living working as a sideman with other people. It wasn't until I finished my CD called The Power of Suggestion that I decided that I was going to make my solo career a priority, and that was my third CD. And what I did was I kind of made a decision, look, I'm never really going to know how far I can take this solo thing unless I make it a first priority. So in 1987, I reluctantly gave my notice to Tower of Power and went out on tour on my own, mortgaged my house to do it, and just decided that I was going to give it a try and make my solo career a priority and see what would happen. And, you know, so far, so good. But, you know, almost 20 years later. But that was a scary time and also a very exciting time.
Mm-hmm. And during that time in 87, you were on the Birds of a Feather CD with Dan Siegel.
Yeah. I got a chance to do a lot of really fun projects, and people like Dan Siegel, Birds of a Feather, things like that. These are things that would come along every so often, and it gave me a chance to work with other people in a collaborative way, but at the same time sort of retain my identification as a solo artist at the same time. So it was, those types of things were very advantageous for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking with Dan Siegel here. I'm sorry, no, we're not. We're talking with Richard Elliott, actually, who worked with Dan Siegel.
But I'll tell Dan you said hi.
Okay, yes. We actually spoke to Dan back in July on this show, the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. Richard, tell us about your latest album, Metro Blue.
Well, Metro Blue is the first release on a brand new record label that was started by myself, Rick Braun, and two other partners. And it's sort of the next step in my evolution to kind of see what it's like on that side of the fence of owning a record label. So Rick and I got together, decided we were going to do this, and I was the first guinea pig, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that was really fun about this project was I got to co-produce it with Rick. And the thing about getting two horn players together when you do a record is, you know, there's going to be a lot of horns on the record.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the case with Metro Blue. But really, the idea with Metro Blue is to make it kind of funky, kind of moody, primarily, you know, original material, and I just had a great time making the record.
And we've played a couple of songs. Well, actually, we've so far we've only played one. But after this, we're going to play another track from Metro Blue. We played Inside Out maybe three times on this show.
Ah, well, Inside Out, that's great. That's actually one of my favorite songs from the CD. It's actually going to be the next single that we put out is going to be Inside Out.
Oh, okay. Well, we were ahead
of... So that's a good choice. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. And the name of the company that Metro Blue is on is Artisan Music Group.
Artisan Music Group, that's right. And I'm getting, you know, it's great after 20 years of doing this to say that I'm getting an education, but I really, really am sort of getting an education in the music industry from the standpoint of being involved in a record label. And it's been an educational and a little scary, but it's really kind of neat to sort of, I think the reason why a lot of artists like doing their own labels is so you feel like you're kind of more in charge of your own destiny in a sense.
Mm-hmm. I keep saying this, but I have to remind you, folks, we're talking with Richard Elliott here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. Let's talk about your fans. What are they like?
Oh, fans.
Yes.
Well, I think most of us in this format are very, very fortunate because I don't think this exists in any other format of music, that we have fans that are extremely passionate about this genre of music, and to be able to say that you've seen some of the same people coming to your shows for 15 or 20 years is a pretty amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that is definitely the case. So what I love about doing our live shows is I'll see people for years at our shows, and at the same time I see this growing audience, people that are new to the format, so it's growing in that sense. But there's a tremendous amount of longevity there. And, you know, it's interesting, you mentioned at the beginning of the interview the Warren Hill Jazz Cruise,
mm-hmm.
the Jazz Cruise. The beauty of that cruise was that the entire ship was filled with people who were smooth jazz fans. And to get a chance to spend a week with the people that come, you normally only see at your show for a couple of hours,
mm-hmm.
was a great experience for me. It gave me a chance to really get to know some of these people. And what's really amazing about this music is that they're passionate about the music, but it really represents kind of a lifestyle, and just the best fans that anyone could ever have in any format of music.
Well, what memory stands out from the, not just from the Warren Hills Smooth Jazz Cruise, but also from all the live shows you've done over the years?
Well, I'll tell you, in a general sense, and I've said this many times in interviews, if I had to give up one thing, recording or playing live, what would it be? And I honestly would have to say I'd probably give up recording before I'd give up performing live, because my ability to record is really attributable to my live performances. It's the energy that mm-hmm. I get from a live audience that gives me the inspiration to go into a recording studio and make new CDs. So, you know, things that stand out are just situations where I can think of one very early in my solo career. We went to Florida and we played at a place called Sunfest, which is in West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my first time getting in front of, you know, like 20,000 plus people and playing my own music. I had done it before as a sideman with other people, but playing in front of a crowd that big, playing my own music, was a very special experience. But I would have to say that this jazz cruise that I just did, in many ways, was probably the most memorable experience I had of being, again, being on the ship with everyone around you is there for one reason. They're there for the music. And also to be able to listen to artists that I admire but never really have the chance to hear and see perform. It was just, I got to say, I think this cruise stood out as probably the most memorable experience.
Okay. Well, along those lines, how was the Valentine's Day show at Nokia Theater?
Oh, that was a lot of fun. That's a brand new theater in Manhattan and right in Times Square. And I always love playing in New York. There's an incredible energy in that city. And always love playing there. And I don't seem to get there enough, but we had a great time. And it was myself and Rick Braun and Peter White. And we've done many shows together. So for us, it's, you know, just a great, we just have a just laughs. We just have a great time. And I think when you do collaboration tours like that, audiences can pick up on if the artists are really having a good time with each other.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking forward to the upcoming Guitars and Saxes tour?
Absolutely. This is my first Guitars and Saxes in many years. I was on the very first Guitars and Saxes a little over 10 years ago, and then had been on two or three of them subsequent to that. But this is the first one I've done in a long time, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, Richard, thanks a lot for this interview. Believe it or not, we're all finished.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine. And continued success.
Thank you.
And this has been Richard Elliott on The Mike Shamiri Show. Up next, we're going to play something from Metro Blue.